And welcome to the program on this Tuesday afternoon. It is 1:08 right now, and you're listening to Weather and Ag in Focus. I'm meteorologist Justin Storm. I got Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki here to my left and on my right side, Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Guys, what's going on today? It's another beautiful afternoon out there. We got temperatures rounding out at a couple degrees either side of 70 right now, but light wind, and oh my goodness, look at how much blue is above us.
And not a whole lot, yeah, like you said, not a whole lot of wind, but there's still, I counted, correct me if I'm wrong, Bridget.
Still,
are you Bridget? Pipe down. There's still three fires that are actively burning out west. Is that correct?
There are, and I didn't get to tune into it, but there was a live update on Teams at 12:30 today for the fire by Mandaree. And I didn't tune in because they only had 300 slots available, and I didn't want to take away from a resident or someone with an emergency management. So hopefully I'll get an update on what they had to say as far as containment. But yeah, you're right. There are still active fires in western North Dakota. And, you know, the losses are going to continue to total up. I had great acts of kindness that were sent to me today about what's happening out there. Things like the Tioga High School football team invited all of the police, deputies, ambulances, and fire trucks to come in and get washed. And the football team is going to wash them and clean them up.
Cool.
There is a company out there that has said that they will replace the filters and service those fire trucks from Ray that were heavily used in the fires over the weekend. There was a young couple who lost their home. Somebody else said, we have a fully furnished home for you to live in. And so they're going to be able to get that opportunity. So there's a lot of things that are happening even in the aftermath of where the fires died down. Unfortunately, some of them are still burning.
We got an update on how many acres have been burnt now since we've had a couple
I don't think
days
we have an official total
it.
Yet.
So, yeah, it's still growing, but is there any update on what that number was? I think last I heard it was 40,000 acres yesterday.
I think we're pushing 50 for sure at this point. Head of livestock, we don't necessarily know, but visiting with a rancher this morning, you know, they lost 50 yearlings and 49 mm-hmm. bred heifers. Hmm. No, that's literally your calf crop this year and next.
Does insurance cover that, Bridget, for them or no?
I think you need to talk to your agent to see what your coverage can be. I think they can, but I don't have any specifics as to what would be in individual policies by company, et cetera. Okay. And North Dakota Stockman's Association really stepped up congressionally. They're asking for dollars for, you know, emergency funding for those ranchers who lost feed, number of head, that type of thing.
Right. Well, I guess the good news out of this is for today and tomorrow, the fire conditions are, don't get me wrong, it's dry. There's still fire conditions, but we're not dealing with like a critical level of fire conditions across the state.
It's better.
And we will start to see that those fire conditions elevating as we head into Thursday. Across most of the state, not all of it, but most of it. This would probably be 2/3 of the southern half, if that makes sense. So kind of cut Highway 2 southward. We'll have mm-hmm. those elevated concerns. Southwestern North Dakota will have a highest degree to those elevated fire conditions. So hopefully that doesn't spread any additional flare-ups from anything that might be smoldering still over the next couple of days. But that will be something to monitor very closely. And we'll start to see that spreading over here into the valley as well as we head into Thursday. We'll see those relative humidities dropping back down to the 20%. We'll have southerly winds kicking up about 10 to 25. So, you know, not a terrible wind, but enough to spread fires out of control pretty quickly. Not to the same degree a 70-mile-an-hour wind will do, but regardless, you still got fires moving at 20 miles an hour. I mean, that's still hard to contain if you can't get in front of it.
And honestly, a lot of farmers are still really practicing caution, and we anticipate that we're all going to the field today to combine corn, and we will likely see that where folks are, even if we don't have those high winds, they're still plowing breaks, fire breaks in the stubble, so that if a spark happens off of a piece of machinery, that it doesn't spread. Additionally, they've got water trucks. Like, instead of seeing a water truck following a sprayer this year, that water truck is actually a firefighting truck right now. Mm-hmm. And also, I did have a message from NDSU extension that the Department of Ag activated the hay hotline. So if you have hay that you are willing to donate or sell to those in the affected fire areas, and if you need hay for your livestock, you're going to want to check out the hay hotline that is through the Department of Ag, and you can be connected in a way that can be most beneficial to you. That phone number is 701-328-5110. And if you need it, you can always email me, ag@flagfamily.com, and I will share that with you.
Yeah, of course. And Bridget's always available, by the way. You can always send those emails to her program. You can also call in today if you want to talk about these fires out in western North Dakota or things going on over here in eastern North Dakota as well. Or really, just the general region. I guess technically we do stream worldwide, wide. 701-293-9000, that's the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line. You can call us anytime between 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Or email weather or ag at flagfamily.com, as well as those chat boxes on Facebook and YouTube Live. very devastating stuff going out there. I know that they're dealing with more dry conditions out in Montana and western North Dakota than we are here in the valley or eastern North Dakota. Bridget, is there anything else that's separating why we had this? I guess in my mind, I'm wondering if there's a difference between out there compared to here, to where it was western North Dakota. Obviously, it's wherever the fire sparks up is where it's going to be. But is there much of a geographical difference between out there to here to why we didn't see something similar, or we didn't see really any fires erupting outside of it just being worse and drier out in western North Dakota? Because it's dry here too. I mean, we get a fire, it's going to go.
It's going to go. And think of two things. One, we have a lot more pasture as you move into western North Dakota. And so you literally have that dry grass that is ready as kindling. And then secondly, we have more no-till acres, which is the same concept. Mm-hmm. We don't do as much tillage as we go into western North Dakota. And we do that on purpose to conserve moisture with snow and rain. But then also we would have that for that means that we have more plant material on the surface that's flammable. And so just simply because of pasture and no-till, I would see this as having more, a higher likelihood of fires spreading to the west. Mm-hmm. The bigger concern I have right over here is that we've got a lot of standing crop. You know, yeah, they were more, probably further along harvested to the west, but now we've got standing cornfields and so forth.
Yeah, that's going to be something to keep an eye on is one with harvest of corn, but also harvest of sunflowers that will be coming up. I think it just pays an extra note to be cautious of your equipment and what's going on while you go through that, especially on days where we do have those elevated risks. And now I don't think that this would pay or play much of a factor to a degree. I think it will, but I think if a fire is going to hop a road, it's going to hop a road. Does the road network in the valley in eastern North Dakota, do you think that plays any difference at all with having more sections and roads that cut across fields and whatnot versus just wider spread open areas?
Maybe it just gives you more access when you've got to go fight the flames.
Yeah,
because that's a good question.
What I'm thinking,
I'm not sure.
If a spark is going to go across the road, it's going to go across the road. But I'm just kind of wondering if that plays any factor at all to that. Anyway, 701-293-9000 is the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line you can call. We got some fun things coming up on today. Dr. Emily Fox is joining us at about 1:20. She's from the Ashley Vet Clinic. She's a large animal vet, and we love when Dr. Emily Fox comes on. Oh, is she not joining
us?
We
love it when she comes on, but I am not kidding you. I am literally just getting a message from her. She just had an emergency come in the door. Mm. She's going to try to join us later in the show if she can.
Okay.
But she's a doctor. So
it happens.
We got backup then.
And it's no problem. Holy cow. Somebody just brought their blue heeler in. Well, I hope I don't know that blue heeler.
Who?
So,
is that a horse?
Yep. It's a blue heeler's a dog.
Oh,
it's a dog.
All right. Well, I didn't know. Boom. I didn't know we were bringing dogs.
That's
there.
Okay. That's okay.
She's a large animal vet.
Of other things.
True.
She is. But we got lots of stuff we can talk about today. You know, I got an answer to our question about crushing soybeans. You're right, Justin. We have ag headlines. And Dr. Emily posted a picture this morning on their Facebook page. I'll see if I can go get it and share it with you guys. It'll be a good guessing game. It was literally five dogs came in this morning after playing with a porcupine.
Oh,
how many quills?
I bet you the porcupine won.
Oh,
I think it did. I think it did.
Not every time, but more times than not.
That'll be the last time those dogs go around a porcupine. Oh,
no, it won't.
They'd learn their
lesson.
You don't think?
No. Dogs are smart, but dogs are dumb.
Yeah.
I had three very smart dogs.
It depends which breed.
Three, five, and two instances with porcupines. Very stupid, smart dogs.
Yep, it happens. Yeah. So, I hate to interrupt you there, but yes, Emily would not skip out on us if she didn't have to. And again,
no, that's fine.
She's a doctor, so we should go with that.
She's got to do what she's got to do, and if that's what it is, that's her job first.
Yes.
How dare she puts us on the back burner?
Sending.
Who does she think she is? Do you know what this show is? Yeah, there we go. I got a chuckle out of both of you.
I am sending a pile of pictures, though, that we can use in the live stream today. So poor Addison is probably fingers flying in the control room to get these
ready. The other thing that we could we can do in pinch of an emergency, I know we got lots of other stuff to talk about, but...
What colors mix to make green?
Red and orange.
Oh, yeah.
We could do that. We might have to bust out some dumb off trivia. I don't think we've done it yet for a few days.
Sure.
Let's see. We got a phone call coming in here. Should we let Addison screen it or should we just take him right off the bat?
Just take it.
Hi, caller. What's your name?
Mike. Pelican Rapids.
Mike, what's going on today? You're on the program.
Yeah. Just wanted a rough idea of the count of how many cattle were stirring those fires so far. It just devastated me when I heard that so many were lost. Some just standing up from the burns and stuff. That must have been really horrible.
Oh, I can only imagine. Mike, we will. Thanks for calling. We'll see what we can dig up here. Bridget, I know we don't have an official number, but from what you've heard, maybe a speculation onto that?
Boy, I don't know. Just from those I have talked to, I can probably in my head tally about 300-400 heads so far, but I think that number is far greater, and they maybe don't know that they haven't found them all yet. Mm-hmm. So I will drop a message over to North Dakota Stockmen's Association and see if they can give me any sort of an update right now from their brand inspectors who've been out there on the scene.
All right. Well, let's catch up with the American Egg Network. Bridget, you'll shoot that message off. Maybe we can get an answer from them here in the next half hour. In the meantime, we'll catch up with the Egg Network when we come back. We got a few egg topics to get to. And maybe we'll bust out some dumb off trivia. We'll be right back.
Hello, folks, and welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us today. There's been so much going on weather and agriculturally over the last few days. I feel like we're a little bit of a rush to catch up. And to those who tuned in, because one of your favorite guests and ours is Dr. Emily Fox with the Ashley Veterinary Clinic, we will have to wait to see if Dr. Fox can join us. She had an emergency come in with a dog, and she's a doctor, and it's the right thing to do. So she may join us if she can. Totally. Meanwhile, we're going to go out to the field today to take a look at our corn. We're probably going to be combining. And so thank you again to Steffes Group for being a sponsor for our project this year, Custom Farming 20 Acres of Corn. Really appreciate the work that they did. And if we wreck anything, combines, grain carts, et cetera, we'll be going to them to be buying equipment just like the rest of you. And to Dakota Bank. Dakota Bank has a new location in the Fargo area. And let's face it, as a bank, they're always ones to be on your side. So give them a call and look to making a new choice in banking with Dakota Bank. Okay, so I had a question last week that I got an answer to for all of us. And that was, if you remember, we were talking about soybeans and how dry it is. And we wondered, would the low moisture in soybeans, because we're seeing like 9% or less in beans, would that make a difference in the content of the oil when that gets crushed? I have an answer. So Bill McBee, who is running the ND soy plant out of Castleton, responded back. Bill, we've had him on the air. And Bill said, the low moisture doesn't change the oil content of the bean. Actually, the percentage of oil goes up slightly since there's less water in the bean.
Well, good for the crush plant.
Good for the crush plant. They're there to make oil, not water.
Bad on yield.
So Addison's been very diligently helping upload a bunch of photos for all of us. I'm just going to say he can put up the first ones that he'd like, and we can probably describe that to those who are not watching on the live stream. What's he going to surprise us with? We'll see what that looks like.
Whoa, not that one. Put that one away. All right, there we go.
Northern Lights. Okay, why are we saying the Northern Lights so much this year, you guys?
That's an observational error. That's what that is right there. That's a spotlight, Bridget. A very big.
That's green. A big green spotlight.
Green spotlight.
Almost like the bat signal. Is that the Green Lantern? Not quite.
That's the Green Lantern's dimensional rift.
This is from the Nelson Farm at Page. They sent this to me this morning. There were actually a couple of them.
Well, we are heading into a solar maximum or minimum? Minimum.
Maximum.
Maximum.
Yeah.
I thought I'd get them mixed up. Mm-hmm. But basically the sun's activity goes in 10 to 12 year cycles of maximum minimum activity in terms of sunspots and solar flares. And when you hit the maximum, you get more of those solar flares or CMEs that come off of the sun. And when those particles interact with the atmosphere, they energize the oxygen and nitrogen particles between certain feet above ground. And you get different colors to light up because of that. The oxygen lights up green, the nitrogen lights up red. So the more of these CMEs we see directed at the Earth, the more times you will see the Northern Lights. And depending on the strength, determines the intensity and how far south the Northern Lights or the Aurora Borealis is seen, Bridget.
Wow.
So we'll be seeing...
A lot of people saw these.
Yeah, we'll be... These went all the way down to Tucson last night.
Tucson?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they weren't supposed to go that far south. No. So that'll just show you that even when, we'll call it space weather, when they predict a large CME, sometimes even on the weaker ones, if everything lines up just right, they can go, again, all the way down south into Arizona. So
you want to know how I've been told the like space weather forecasting is in terms of predicting the Northern Lights, when and how they're going to happen? Is equivalent to telling your buddy in New York what time you will show up at his house based on how fast you back up out of your driveway in Los Angeles. That's roughly the same on trying to precisely time the Northern Lights.
Yeah, it is. It's difficult, but we got another chance of seeing them tonight. So if you're out and about, Might see another show tonight.
It's so hit or miss, too, because it doesn't always happen at 10 or midnight. It might happen for 10 minutes at 1 a.m. It might happen again at 3 a.m. Or maybe your only opportunity to see them is at like 9 p.m. It's just so hit or miss.
And that's only if there's no cloud cover, right?
Yes. Exactly. Yep. Now, there's also a comet, and I'm not sure the name of the comet that's passing through our atmosphere, above our atmosphere, and they said that the Northern Lights, if it's strong enough tonight, it could rip the tail of the comet off. They said that has happened once before.
Oh, wait, what?
Say that again. Space.
Yes.
Yeah. Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
So that would be an interesting...
The CME would rip?
It would rip the
solar
tail,
wind?
The tail of the comet off. Yep.
You think it grows back like a salamander?
I doubt it.
That poor comet's going to be tailless for the rest of its astronomical life.
It will.
Will it get shamed by other comets for not having a tail like it's supposed to?
Poor tail.
You think only on social media?
Look at this tailless comet. The sun knocked it off.
Did you see that?
Oh, man. Hey, 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe line. We'll bring Todd in. What's going on today, Todd? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good show, guys. Question I got for you is what, if you can tell us, did the LRC have to say about the winds that we had over the weekend and also this hurricane coming into Tampa?
All right. Well, I appreciate the call, Todd.
Thanks, Todd. The hurricane coming into Tampa, I'll take this one. It predicted this back in March. It said there was going to be the potential of a strong hurricane developing in the Gulf around October 7th, moving eastward towards the Florida Peninsula. This was predicted all the way back in early March using the LRC. And this is the second one. It predicted Helene as well in the Gulf. It's been 80 to 90% accurate on these predictions of the hurricanes.
Wow.
In regards to the wind, I did not even look into that, to be honest with you, to see how the LRC did on that.
So the wind struck on the 5th and 6th of October, which is right when a new LRC pattern starts. But using the old cycle back from the following fall, and when we did our LRC special, both in the end of November and the end of March, although we didn't forecast into October because the new LRC pattern would be recycling, fragments of the old pattern do reoccur to some degree at the beginning of the new cycle. So I'm looking at my spreadsheet right here of all the forecasts that were made, and October 6th and 7th, so that would be Sunday and Monday, were highlighted for a larger scale storm system to be passing through the area. So it was a day off, but a day off on 7 months.
Pretty good.
8 months.
That's pretty darn good.
That's not bad. Yeah. Now, I wasn't necessarily forecasting that we would see 75 mile per hour wind gusts, but you can assume wind is accompanied with a larger scale storm system that pulls into your region. So although I didn't forecast an extreme wind event, I was anticipating some form of a system passing through the area. So I hope that answers your question, Todd, that the LRC did predict it, but it wasn't forecasted by me to be an extreme wind event.
Good answer, guys.
Yeah, good questions. Appreciate that. Keep them coming. Really 701-293-9000.
A friend of the show, Sarah, also let us know that Northern Lights can mess up your GPS.
They can, yeah. They definitely
can. They can take down satellites. They can mess up radio communication.
Yeah. And it's more the CME than the Northern Lights, but it's the same thing. I mean, if you have the Northern Lights, you're going to have the CME or the coronal mass ejection.
So how about, would it be okay if we do our bottom of the hour news?
I like
but when we come back, I've got I've got a couple more pictures that we can talk about. And we'll see if we can't catch up. Maybe Dr. Emily will be able to join us. If not, I think we got lots of things that we'll be able to talk about. Oh, and I'm getting a response back from North Dakota Stockman's Association. So let's cover all that when we come back.
Okay, bye.
Welcome back to Weather Neg and Focus. And we're heading to the field, getting some combining done this week. So if you haven't yet put in your guess for what you think our yield will be, go to our Facebook page, Weather and Ag in Focus, and give us your bushel estimate of what you think our yield will be on our 20 acres of corn. How many bushels per acre do you think we'll have? We'll know very, very soon. All of them.
You know what I'm actually thinking? Sorry to interrupt you, Bridget.
That's okay. That's okay.
The amount of wind that we saw over here, although not as bad as out west, it was still 50 to 70 miles per hour. Now, what is that going to do to a loose standing corn crop? Because when we were running through there, I saw a lot of cobs that, well, attached, kind of looked a little droopy.
Right. Okay. So a couple things. If you have a whole lot of corn that you're bringing in this year and you want to know how much is in your bins, that's where we're giving away one of the grain gauges from IntelliFarms. So that's part of our giveaway package for our bushels contest. Then back to potential ear drop. Corn, you'll notice in that field, you could see that once those ears were mature, they started to hang downward. Mm-hmm. They shed moisture that way. If we get rain, et cetera, snowfall. Can you lose ears in that situation? Yes, you can. If they had to stand for a long time, such as we've had years where we couldn't combine until into March and they stood all winter long, you start to see more ears hitting the ground. Genetics these days prevent a lot of those ears from dropping, so that you have that really good standability, so you don't have stalks tipping over and you can get a combine through there and not lose crop. But yes, it can actually happen.
Something we will hopefully didn't hit our field. Still
please
shooting
no.
for 225.
Got it. Okay.
I'm hoping for it, man. You know, you stick to your guns.
So, North Dakota Stockman's Association sent me a message back. It really is too soon to tell on, as Mike's question from Pelican Rapids about how many head have been lost in those fires out there for beef animals and others, but losses with some farms have been quite significant. So we'll hopefully get a little bit more of an estimate soon, but right now we just don't know. And again, then we still have 3 active fires, so there could still be some animals that are struggling. Additionally, Addison has a couple more pictures. He's going to just surprise us with whichever one he wants to put up for us next, and we'll describe that to our listeners once it shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that, one is enough. One is like enough.
That's 25 Justins. That's 25 all waving their arms.
I can clap with myself.
That wasn't the picture I submitted.
Oh, man. Well, that's the photo very you nice. Got.
Come on, Addison. Help us out.
I like out. It.
There we go.
So,
that was fun.
All right. So what you're seeing here is this is a picture of the remains of a four-wheel drive tractor and looks like a disc behind it was in the fire. There, it's up against a shelter belt. From the looks of it, remember, folks who were fighting fires on Saturday were in smoke that was similar to whiteout conditions. They were literally using their phone and a Google map to try to figure out what was in their way, whether it was trees, buildings, etc. This tractor bumped up into a tree, and because the flames were so close, they pretty much abandoned ship on the tractor, and you can see the field that was burned, the trees that are burned, and the remaining shell of the tractor, as well as tillage tool that it was towing.
That is brutal.
That's pretty hot. That was an awful situation out there. But folks were doing everything they could. That's a chisel plow, it looks like, that they were trying to save as much as they could. Mm. Then the last picture that I sent over is actually from the Ashley Veterinary Clinic. Again, Dr. Fox could not join us. She had an emergency come in. But earlier today, they had a little problem. And that problem was that 5 dogs came in that had tangled with a porcupine, and they're running a contest. How many quills do you think they had to remove from those 5 dogs in total?
That looks like a lot of quills.
I saw some of the guesses, and they were 300 to 500 quills had to be removed from those dogs.
I'm going
to
go 243.
I will submit those answers for you.
I'll do 250.
Well, why don't you just do 244? Thanks, Dean.
Okay. Well, I will give them our guesses as well, because I'm going to say this is more than any dog wanted to know about, if that's fair.
That's a lot of them for sure. Well, hey, what do we got here? I think we got an egg topic here. Let me pull up our list of fun things to talk about today. And
you also have 2 listener email questions just for you guys.
Oh, did we get some in?
Slack. Yep, I got 2 I sent to you if you want to answer those for us.
Let's see. When will our first snowfall? When will be our first snowfall? December 13th is my guess right now. Dean, any preliminary guess for first snowfall? Actually, no. First snow to stick on the ground
is
December 13th. Well, that was my initial guess.
First official snowfall is at least, a tenth of an inch, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
You're going mid-December?
First snow to be sticking on the ground. First snowpack.
Okay.
It snows, it melts, it doesn't count. It snows, it stays.
Okay.
I just go on December 13th.
I'm going to go December 8th. Going to go about a week ahead of you.
Mm. All right. For snowpack, right?
You guys are really holding it out there.
Now, do we want to add on to this the first snow? Addison shaking his hand.
First flakes?
No, it's snowing outside. Not, there's a flake.
Okay.
So it's snowing.
There's enough flakes around here.
I'm going to go, you make a point. October, November 8th. Boo. Yeah, I know, Addison. I want snow, too.
Oh, man. It's a slow start to the LRC cycle. This will change by the end of the month. I think we'll get enough cold air in early November. I'm going to go...
Why don't you just go November 9th?
I'm going to go November 2nd.
Oh, wow. All
right. Right after Halloween.
A week before me again.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you, Dean. All right, there we go. That's the first one. And our next question is, when will it freeze so these flies die? Monday night. This is coming up, not this Monday night, but next Monday night.
So you're talking
after this weekend.
The 21st.
Yeah. Yes. You're talking this weekend.
Why don't we go the morning of the 15th? Morning of the 14th, 15th.
15th.
Either Sunday night or Monday night, one of those two.
I'm going to go Tuesday night. Well, technically it'll freeze Monday night too.
Yeah. Then if we clear out Monday night, I don't think we're going to clear out
31
enough Monday night.
Next Monday night, 29 or 28 next Tuesday night is my forecast right now.
For all of you who've been holding off on the furnaces, now you're going to have to start them.
Oh, those furnaces have been on for a while. I kicked ours on.
Really?
Yeah. Our house gets cold. It drops down and well into the 60s those few
That's
nights.
That's what blankets are for.
Well, yeah, well, yeah. Little Sterling's not the greatest at putting a blanket on himself. So he kind of likes a cozy 71 with his sleep sack, his little thermal sleep sack he sleeps in. He's got a blanket. He just doesn't really lay it over himself.
He hasn't quite mastered that art yet.
Nah, he's it's a work in progress. All right, let's see. Why don't we hit a sponsor? We come back. You guys want to do some trivia?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back.
Red and orange.
And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 149-32. We got some Dumb Off Trivia coming up. If you've never played Dumb Off Trivia before, yes, Dan, I understand how it works. What we're going to do is play on your behalf. You can register on our website, wdayradionow.com. Scroll down to the bottom. Find Weather and Ag in Focus Trivia. And if we win for you, you win a fun prize, and everyone has entered into a chance to win the grand prize drawing that I believe we're doing at the end of October. So that will be fun to do. Dean, you're going to be playing for Dave A. Bridget, you're playing for Lou L. And I am playing for Andrew S. So we will play on your behalf. And whoever has the most points at the end of trivia is going to win. Addison. Man, it's so dry, it just keeps cracking me up. It's allergies, man. it's so bad.
You'll be okay.
Addison, you want to ask He'll us live. A few questions?
No, I'm good. I'm going to head out.
Oh, well, then we're done playing trivia then. Good game, guys. Good game.
All right, good episode, everyone.
See you tomorrow.
Red and orange. Yeah. What colors mix to make green?
Red and orange.
Oh, that one will never die.
Nope, never die.
Gonna be on my deathbed one day. It's gonna echo through my head.
I'll bring the satin.
All right,
the bed of roses.
Thank you, Joseph.
Yeah, no problem.
What will we do that?
I hope you get the reference.
All right, I'm not going to confirm or deny that I got the reference. I'm just gonna let that hang. Yeah. What do the letters in HTML stand for?
Oh wow, That's one I actually know but cannot recall. Don't get out of here. You can't Google it.
Stop like, with your Google.
5, 4, 3. What is
it? Hyperthalamus.
Yeah, well, you are way wrong.
This is not a science-like question.
Oh, I know, hyperbole. But I still don't know what the answer is. Yeah.
Hypertext markup language.
Oh, wow. That would have been my third guess.
How do we not know that?
That would have been my third guess.
Wow. I don't think I've said any of those words since like sixth grade English class.
Wow. All right. All right. Great start.
Which HBO World War II miniseries stars a bunch of Brits as American?
Whoa.
Bridget?
The Band of Brothers.
How did you know that?
Because that is like one of my favorite things to watch.
All right. Well, Bridget. Got that one. Good
Way
job,
to go, Bridget.
So much for the delay.
Yeah, where's your 1 second delay?
Well, she's got a better gamer chair today, so.
She does have a different gamer chair today. And she's sitting forward, so you know it's serious. There you go, you Call of Duty tryhards.
There we go. All right. Which word derives from an island believed by ancient Romans to be the chimney of their god of fire?
Oh.
Bridget? Peninsula.
No, what'd but I like your say? Spirit. I really dig the spirit.
If you say with confidence, it could work.
How dare you? She said peninsula.
You said Roman? Roman god?
Yes. Which word derives from the island believed by ancient Romans to be the chimney of their god of fire?
Jeez.
Wow.
Think back.
You're out of time, Dean.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Throw out your favorite word.
Volco.
Hawaii.
What was it?
It was volcano.
Oh.
I was.
So you were actually like,
you were close.
I was close. All right. Well, so far, Bridget has 1 point, and me and Dean got the big dumb.
Okay.
What do we got?
We're coming back.
We'll get him in the back nine, that's all.
I like Dean's answer of Hawaii. Hawaii sums up the whole ecosystem going on there.
Red and orange.
All right. Which scientist sailed the HMS Beagle to South America, including a stop to the Galapagos Islands?
Oh, Justin.
Justin?
Bridget.
Charles Darwin.
Whatever. I'll give Darwin. It to you, but begrudgingly, because yeah, I don't think that's how you pronounce it.
Charles Darwin.
There we go.
Yeah.
You know that, Dean?
I'm not going to use that.
No.
Loser.
Oh, you just keep talking. Just wait. Keep talking.
All right, what do we got?
All right. Which popular gadget is proving to be a global nuisance because of its ability to invade private and public airspace?
Justin.
Bridget.
Justin.
That 1 second delay is in my favor. Drones.
Ah!
It is drones.
You should really have Gabe fix that, you know, before he's yeah.
I know.
You know, okay. Only semi-drone related, not trivia related that much at all. Did you guys ever hear, like, a year or two ago in, like, Los Angeles, they were having a problem where there were multiple reports of a guy on a jetpack flying around, like, LAX or something?
That's the Green Goblin.
And then they found out
it was, like, a drone was shaped to look like a guy on a jetpack.
That's genius.
They had to, like, keep shutting down the airport and stuff because 747s were, like...
There's a guy. Hey, we're gonna hit this guy in the air, man.
You don't believe this, man. There's a guy flying.
Yeah,
it's a real life rocketeer, and I didn't know Addison had lived in California last year.
Wow, look at that. We learn something new every day.
Right.
Knowledge.
All right. What is the term for a natural depression in a land surface formed by the
what?
It's a secret.
What
are
you?
Bridget, by the dissolution and collapse of a cavern roof.
Justin. Oh.
Bridget.
Well, Bridget was in there first.
Bridget?
I'm going to say it's like you see them in Mexico, cenotes.
I don't even know what that word is, but no.
This is not the answer, but my guess is going to be caldera.
What are you guys even saying?
Well, you said it was a depression in a landform.
I'll say a cave.
Well, a collapsed cave.
Yeah.
No.
No.
My answer card says sinkhole.
Oh. Boo.
Oh.
A caldera is a crater from a sunken volcano that's erupted.
Hawaii, naturally.
Hawaii.
See?
Yeah, hot spots.
I knew that'd come out somewhere.
Again, we all overthunk that one.
Dean, you're struggling today.
I'm struggling
today. It's okay, dude. It's a Tuesday.
It's a struggle type of death.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
None of these words have anything in common. Macaroni, rockhopper, and emperor are what types of animal?
Bridget.
Bridget?
It's chickens.
No. But you said chickens and are really happy.
She's like, say.
I know somebody whose chickens have those names.
Those are oddly specific chicken names.
Oh, man. I don't have an answer, snails.
Penguins.
I was going to say insects, but
Bridget got it on her second guess.
That doesn't count. She already
answered. It was penguins.
It was penguins.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah, the macaroni
penguins. Penguins.
That's what
penguins are both birds.
I had to look it up on my phone. I was like, there's a penguin called macaroni.
Are you rewarding Bridget, or does that... Your call, Addison.
We'll give her a half point on that one. That was a second.
Okay, fine. I'll take it.
Again, not really trivia related.
Yes, you can.
But was I the only one as a small young child that thought emperor penguins were like way bigger than they actually are?
Well, they're like 6 feet tall, aren't they?
That's big for a penguin.
No, they're like 2.5 feet tall.
What?
They're tiny little babies.
The emperor ones are much bigger.
They're like 3.5 feet tall. They're small.
Don't they
have some sort of feather thingies on the top of their head that make them look different?
I don't think so, no. Oh. The macaroni penguin, they got those like big yellow eyebrows that are like spaghetti noodles.
They're 3.6 to 4.3 feet tall. You're right, Addison. I thought they were the size of people.
Well, I'm glad that I could give you this huge
life-shattering
world change.
All right, we got time for one more here?
Yeah.
Bridget needs this to win.
Triple point value.
All right.
You won't get it anyways, Dean.
Which powerhouse nation can trace its history back thousands of years to the Shang and Xi dynasties?
Dean.
Bridget.
Justin.
China.
You said it wrong. Come on, try again. You said it wrong. All right. Well,
China.
There you go. All right. Well, with the triple point enacted, Dean, somehow I let you win for the day. So, Dave, you're the winner today. Sorry, Andrew. I lost for you. I awarded Dean 3 points.
Called triple, Dan.
You said it correctly, so I had to honor it. Yeah. Anyways, we're out of time today. Thanks for listening. We're back tomorrow.
Peace.
Maybe 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Jay Thomas Show's coming up next. All right. Bye.